This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
And welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you so much for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we're not going to be on YouTube or Facebook this week. We're back to the old digs. We're back in the basement. We're back on Google Hangout. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, man? I just realized there's a crack in my phone screen I didn't know was there. The screen protector, so I have to fix that now.
Yeah, you got to get yourself on Amazon. Get yourself some of that tempered glass stuff.
I thought I had one. Where did it go?
They usually send you in a two-pack, but...
I know, but you know what? This whole, like, moving thing is kind of making it hard to find stuff.
Well, I mean, moving's rough. It's tough.
Now it's packed somewhere.
You'll find it eventually.
I know where. I have no idea.
But it's been a little bit over a week since we talked last. We actually got to talk in person.
I know. It was crazy.
Yeah. Same place, same time. It doesn't happen often. So we got to record the podcast that way. We got video of most of it, which was fun. So if you do go check it out on Facebook or YouTube, we do throw in a little Easter egg if you watch the whole thing through when the GoPro dies. So you have to go check that out. But since then, the Caps have been busy. This schedule for this month is just insane. I think Craig Laughlin said that it was the coming up was the longest road trip they've had in like 15 years. So
I heard that on the broadcast, the Columbus game.
Yeah, I think it was the Columbus game. But a couple games we got to talk about. Let's start off talking about the one that was last Tuesday. It was the return of Jay Beagle to DC. It was against Vancouver.
Beagles
came back and. He got a little choked up. I don't know if you saw that or not. They did a thank you Beagles video. He got a little choked up on the ice. There were lots of signs and lots of jerseys in the crowd for him. It was great to have Jay Beagle back. He definitely, you know, once he retires, it feels like they're not going to retire his number here, but it definitely seems like he could be like an ambassador or something for the team. It seems as if, yes, he's with Vancouver and I'm sure they love him there, but at the end of the day, I think he's always going to be a Capital.
I would agree with that. I think his status as a Capital in that legendary way that some of the players that formerly were here are, I think he surpassed a number of guys, not like a Peter Bondrup by any means or Kolzig, but there's a lot of the guys that the fans really liked in the past, like a Matt Bradley, like a Matt Hendricks. Although his name's not Matt, so that one doesn't really work. But, you know, Beagle's one of those guys that he was a heart and soul kind of player, and he just was a gritty guy, and he would do anything he had to for the team, and they benefited from it. And I agree with you. I think when the time on his career comes to an end and he's ready for the next step, if it's remaining in the hockey world, I wouldn't at all be surprised if he did something for the Caps.
Do you see? I mean, I don't know.
And Bradley works for the Caps. I think he and former Capital Brian Sutherby are scouts.
Yeah, I think they are. But do you see Jay maybe coming back to the Caps in like a coaching position? Do you think that he has that that teacher mentality that a lot of coaches need?
I mean, I could see him doing that. My only concern is like, it's not like he's not like or it's not like the European football where they have like their kid clubs or their juniors and all those things where like, you bring up the kids through your academy and he can coach through there. Like, so I'd hate to see a situation where Beagle comes on, and he's like an assistant coach and then doesn't work out with that new coach, whoever it may be. And then Beagle has to leave that way. Like I would almost find it would be fun if he was like on the, did like almost a Craig Laughlin type of thing where he had like his own little hockey school in the area, but then also was part of the broadcast.
That'd be interesting. I'd like to see that. But, yeah, it was great to have Beagles back in town. Definitely miss that guy. I think the bottom six really misses that guy. So we're definitely feeling the Beagles team right now, I guess you could say. I mean, you can definitely see it going on right now with everything happening with the team. But let's talk about the last week in Caps hockey. The Capitals, at least this was the way it was on Monday, they were tied with penalties with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they have 220 minutes worth of penalties so far in this season, the most in the NHL, tied with the Lightning. The Columbus game was no different. We talked about this last week about there being something special in that penalty box. They love to go there. But what is going on?
Chips and salsa, man.
What's that?
It's chips and salsa.
Chips and salsa, maybe some guac. I don't know. But
yeah, it might be, might be.
What is going on with this team? Why is this team glued to the penalty box, specifically Yevgeny Kuznetsov and Michael Kempney?
Well, it's tough to say specifically as to why certain players might be playing that specific way. I know that there's been some conversations online as to whether it is a result of when they do make stupid plays like that. You know what stat I just found by looking at NHL.com? The Capitals are 31st in the league in faceoff percentage.
Yep. Yeah.
They are 10 percentage points back at Philadelphia Flyers. That's not good. Though the Flyers, they, I think they still suck. So maybe it's not the end of the world. But you like to see that number higher. But as you were saying,
well, that's got to be. I mean, at least a portion of that has to be the loss of Jay Beagle, right?
I think it doesn't help. You know, you have to go through and look at the individual players and what their face-off percentages are. I don't think I can. Oh, you can see that based on this. So look at their top forwards, and Kuznetsov, Backstrom, I'd say Eller, and let's say Dowd, for argument's sake. Dowd's at 50. 50.31% in change. Eller's 49.94. Backstrom 49.57. And Kuznetsov at 39.28. So you can see why they're down there, and that none of their centers other than Nick Dowd are over 50%. And even guys like Chandler Stephenson, who may take some spots in the center, or Travis Boyd, or Boyd's even worse than Kuznetsov right now. So I think they definitely could use some help in the center spot in terms of being able to win a freaking faceoff. But that might be more coaching than the players themselves. But I do feel part of it is, you know, the Caps are starting to do a little bit better. They went 3-2 in this past week. They had those wins over Vancouver, Colorado, and L.A. I think the Columbus one was just, it's one of those things where they're tired from playing the night before. They had a rough game against L.A. It was a high-intensity kind of game. And then you go into Columbus, you're going into, so you have to travel after you played that last night. So they probably flew out after the LA game, so they're probably tired the next day a little bit. You already played the night before, and then you got this whole road trip you're going on out west on your mind. And so I imagine that, you know, may have affected them in that game. And it's not necessarily an excuse. You'd like to see that they don't have those kind of issues, but I feel like this is kind of the reality of that current situation. And the loss to Florida was kind of an ugly one. I feel like they should have come out with the win in that game and just weren't able to pull it off. But the face-off, or not the face-off, the penalty, the consistent penalties is definitely a problem. And I feel like that part of that comes on the coaching staff in terms of not being able to motivate the players properly. And you sit there going, look, like, they're veterans. Come on now. They should be doing, for the most part, you know, they've been here long enough, and pretty much all of them won a Stanley Cup last year. So they should know better to not take stupid penalties. But I think some of it comes back on the coaching staff and being able to motivate these guys and making sure they're playing the way that they should be playing. But they've done a little bit better overall in terms of wins. You saw Holpe's back to his old form. He's been playing well lately, so his eye must be better, whatever it may be. And then you're looking at a guy like Kuznetsov, who's starting to step up offensively. He was really struggling for a while in terms of how he's playing offensively. But he's got 4 points in his last five games. I'm sorry, he's got points in four of his last five games and points in seven of his last 10. He had 4 points in the win over LA, three over Colorado, and two in the game against Vancouver. So if Kuznetsov starts stepping up offensively and he can stop taking stupid penalties and he starts winning a bit more of his faceoffs, he can go back to being like what he was towards the end of last season where he was that superstar player.
Do you think that benching from a couple weeks ago is a big motivator for him to do a little bit better? Because like you said, and I brought up as well, he's still taking penalties like crazy, but his play is improving.
Well, over the last five games, he's taken three penalties. He had one penalty against Vancouver, one versus LA, and one versus Columbus. So it's not necessarily the end of the world.
But it's hooking penalties. I mean, it's constantly.
See, those are the ones that bug me because I feel like you're just being lazy at that point. Like hooking, tripping to some extent, but almost sometimes tripping can be not necessarily intentional. You know, you're going for the puck and you miss, and those things happen. But it's the lazy penalties. And we've talked about this before, the hooking, holding the stick. Like, it's just move your feet, play smarter, and you'll be fine. The hooking, I don't understand how anyone ever gets caught doing that, because it's, yes, it can benefit you because you, if you can get away with it because you're pulling the player back, you're slowing them down. But move your feet, move your skates, work harder, get off the ice.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's laziness, but the Caps do it a lot. I mean, a lot. This is constantly hooking penalties. I mean, you know, there's jokes that can go around about that, but it's insane how many times if you listen to it on the radio or watching on TV, it seems like whenever the Capitals get a penalty, it's a hooking penalty. So you said that's a lazy thing. Is that due to a coach not getting this team prepared for the opponent they're up against?
I think some of it could be on the coaching staff in terms of being able to get these guys to play the way they want them to. And it seemed like last year Trotz was able to get the Caps to play exactly the way he wanted. And there are some questions as to whether Reardon is really getting the best out of this team right now. So I have no issues with the, you know, the thought that the coaching staff certainly should have a couple of eyes on them in terms of how this team should be playing and how they should be playing better. I mean, the power play, they are, I can't find them on the list. They're 14th in the league in their power play at 20.9%, but their PK is currently 23rd in the league. That's a problem. Their PK has got to get a lot better, and I think losing Beagle in those faceoffs and just his overall play has affected it somewhat, but I don't think it's affected it quite to the extent that their power or penalty kill should be that bad. I mean, their roster hasn't changed that dramatically. Well, let's go back. Let me look at their penalty kill from last season. How do I do what this thing wants me to do? NHL website. It's weird sometimes. Their PK last year was 15th. So they're right in the middle at 80.3. So it's clearly worse than it was last year. And their power play is not as good. So, to some extent, you got to look at the coaching staff because these are pretty much the same players.
Yeah, that's very worrisome. I mean, it's a new coach. It's a couple different players here and there that have changed. But if you're going to spend that much time in the penalty box, you need a good penalty kill, obviously. But at the same time of that, if you're killing off penalties, you're not scoring goals. And your big hitters, Alex Ovechkin or Yevgeny Kuznetsov or TJ Oshie, those guys that are there to score goals, they're not making ice time. So you're playing a defensive game, which is fine, but you don't have defensive players, you know, doing what they have to do on the penalty kill, and you're just not getting the job done, and that's not how you're going to make it to the playoffs, let alone win another Stanley Cup.
No. If you don't play as well as the other team, it makes it much harder to win games. That's definitely true. So it's, you know, you kind of keep waiting. I feel like this team is starting to get a bit better. There's no real easy way to look at their stats over the last few games, I would imagine. Oh, game by game. Nah, screw it. That's going to be too difficult for me to look up. But, you know, we'll see how it goes over the next. You know, they have this tough road trip coming up where, I mean, they're gone for almost two straight weeks. They are off to San Jose, then Anaheim, LA. I know I'm spoiling your part at the end of the show. We talk about all, then they go over to Toronto. I apologize. They go to Toronto and then Buffalo. So they go, wow, that's got to be a really dramatic difference in terms of weather. Yeah. Like, packing for that's got to be real difficult. You know, you're going and you pretty much, I have to imagine you're going with shorts and a t-shirt when you're out with the boys. But then you go to Toronto and Buffalo and it's probably freaking freezing. So, yeah, that's probably fun. But, you know, this also is a good opportunity for the team to bond and have opportunities to really work together and reinforce some things through practice or through other opportunities outside of the rink. And we'll see if that works to get the team to start playing better, whether it's, you know, they're not all on the same page and that's why they're giving up more goals or just kind of giving them a chance to get away from their families and really focus on hockey and wake up.
Tell you, somebody who has been playing exceptionally well, surprisingly enough, was Andrei Burakovsky. He's had a really good
he listens to the show.
About the last 2 weeks, Andre's been really good. He's selling mattresses shirtless on his Instagram, so he's making some extra coin on the side. But
that's weird.
Yeah, does this have anything to do with the trade deadline coming up? Does he know he has more eyeballs on him than normally would, or is this just Burrow being Burrow?
I mean, he's got 4 points in his last five games. I think it's just him being a streaky player. I think he wants to stay here. That would be my guess. He's got a thing. He hasn't played as often as he probably would like to. So I guess it's kind of, you know, you could question as to how much he may be trying to sort of advertise himself, for lack of a better term, to show off. He's played 51 out of 57 games the Capitals have played. So it's not like he hasn't played very often.
Really? You know, that's really, he's only missed that many.
Yeah, he's played 51 games. He's got 16 points, and he's a seven goals, nine assists. So you'd think he'd be, you know, if he wanted to show himself off, now's definitely the time with a trade deadline. When is the trade deadline? I keep forgetting this.
So the 25th.
Is it next week?
I think it's week and a half.
Week and a half. Oh, it's like Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Burakovsky. I don't know. I mean, where'd it go? I just had his stats. Oh, nothing in the game against Vancouver, one against Colorado, two assists against Florida, an assist against LA, and then nothing against Columbus, but, you know, pretty much nobody was doing anything against Columbus besides Holtby.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. I mean, it's kind of that tricky thing for the Caps. If he actually starts stepping up and over the next couple of games, he's like tearing it up, are they almost like, maybe we'll keep him? He's doing pretty well. So it's one of those things, you know, do you think that he's actually finally broken out of that position where he's a streaky player and he's finally fulfilling his potential? Or is this just another streak?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what he does, but it's kind of interesting that we get closer to the trade deadline and he kind of steps up his game. So I don't know what he's really thinking. But, you know, if Burakovsky's scoring points and he's staying here, then okay, awesome. Do your thing. The offense, I don't think there's too much to worry about with them. I am worried about the fourth line, but the defense is definitely a big concern. They have left Holtby and Copley out to dry the last couple games. I mean, looking absolutely terrible. The LA Kings, that second period, it looked like the Capitals were just giving away the game, and they were able to come back in the third and score some points and win the game. But what's going on with this defense? This definitely does not look like a defense from last year, and really, nothing's really changed. I mean, Christian Juice is back in the lineup now. Brooks Orpik is back in the lineup now. If anything, these guys should be looking more solid than ever.
You know, you'd think so, but no, not so much. No, I don't know. It's tough to say because Juice was out for a pretty long period, long stretch of the season. He's only played 31 games, so he was out for quite a while. Orpik, you know, he's another year older. He's probably that much slower. And I think you look at the bottom six have not been playing, or the team overall has not been playing forward-wise, has not been playing as well defensively. And I think that affects the way the teams look at their defense because you expect them to be playing as well as they did the prior season, especially when you don't change any of the players. But if you're not getting all-around quality defensive play, you know, does that automatically mean that your defense is terrible? So I don't think it's necessarily on the defenders. I found it interesting, but it made sense that Jonas Sengenthaler was sent down and he went back to Hershey. I don't imagine he's going to be there for too long. And I think it gives the Caps front office some interesting decisions to make after the season. I think Orpik is definitely gone. And they're going to go with a couple of the younger guys next season as their third pairing. And part of it is that they have a different defensive coaching staff now. So it says, you know, have they made little tweaks to how they did it, which is actually end up being a worse idea. You know, the Caps struggled at one point, and that's why they brought in Adam Oates. And he changed up the guys they brought in to coach, changed up the system, and it may have worked for Ovechkin, but it wasn't working for Holtby. And we saw that with Holtby's struggles.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past with Holtby and what's been going on. But I don't know, this defense definitely scares me a little bit. It feels as if, you know, Holtby and Copley can both handle it, but it would be great if they didn't have to. And
I think it's overall team defense that needs to improve right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. like you said, the defense is going to change a little bit next year, but let me bounce back again to the offense, because I did want to bring this up, and I forgot before I went down to talk about the defense. But what are your thoughts on the shots taken in the Columbus game? Because, I mean, for the longest time, I think it was in the single digits, at least for the second or third period. And you gotta take the shot if you want to get a goal. And the Caps got blanked by Columbus. Bobrovsky, nothing taken away from him. Bobrovsky was playing out of his mind last night. But, you know, the Caps seemed as if they weren't taking shots. They weren't trying to get shots off. I mean, plenty hit posts, but, I mean, they were in single digits. You can't win a game if your shot attempts are in the single digits for the majority of the game.
You know, it makes it a little bit harder to do that. I think it was Michael Scott who said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Is that right?
That's true. Michael Scott did say that.
I think Michael Scott and that other guy,
Dwight Schrute.
Gertzky. Something like that, right?
Right, anyway, yeah.
Right, him. So, it's, you know, I think that Columbus game was a fluke. I don't think that is definitely a representation of how this team is going to play. So I'm not overly concerned after watching that game. It's disappointing, but I'm not panicking. I don't think they're, like, reverting back to the crap that came before.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. The San Jose Sharks, they're up against the Caps on Valentine's Day, and they're well rested. They're coming off like 3 days off. So travel day, lots of games, first stop on the West Coast. It'll be interesting to see how the Capitals deliver against San Jose. And hopefully, not that it's going to be easy, but hopefully the Caps have a good game at Anaheim.
It's not going to be easy.
No.
Because, you know, the Sharks are currently second. Tampa's running away with this thing. They've got 88 points. The next closest is San Jose at 75.
Good Lord.
Holy crap. Anyways, San Jose is pretty good, and the Caps are pretty not good when they're in San Jose. So I don't have high hopes for that one. But I will be pleasantly... All right, I hope to be pleasantly surprised. When is that game? Tomorrow?
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
On Thursday. So, yeah. I hope to be pleasantly surprised when I wake up on Friday, because I am not staying up to watch that game.
And Anaheim on Sunday is at 9 o'clock, same time as The Walking Dead. What are you doing to me, Cap?
Come on! Well, that's what you get the little app on an iPad or phone for.
Yeah, I guess. All right, so anything else we should cover in Cap's world?
No, that's pretty much on my notes, I think. You know, we'll hope this road trip goes well, because if it doesn't, things are going to get really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough 2 weeks, but hopefully the Caps can come away with a couple points and you know, keep climbing the ladder of the Metro. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are here to talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, tell us what is going on down on the farm, because I hear this Samsonov kid is just lighting the world on fire. Tell us all about it.
He's doing all right. I think he's done okay. He's tearing it up a bit. We got a little different style this week, Brandon, since Uh-oh. We had a show last week and talking about him. Let's do a quick check in on Hershey, where they are flying right now, though not literally right now, because they're playing as well. We'll back to that. We'll come back to that in a moment. They're on a 12-game point streak, going 11-0-1, and have won six straight. They're currently 2 points out of a playoff spot.
Wow.
Keep in mind, it was only a couple of weeks ago we were like, this team is terrible. They're last in their division. They're tearing it up, made their way back. They're getting to the playoffs. Just got to keep winning. Riley Barber is turning heads in his direction, as he was named the AHL Player of the Month for January. He's already got more points this season than he did all of last year.
Holy cow.
So if the Caps need someone to score some goals, play some offense, he's definitely making them think about him. Now, the Bears are back at it as we speak against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, followed up with a home-and-home against Lehigh Valley starting on Saturday at the Giant Center. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays currently sit second in the South Division with 54 points and a record of 25-18-4, 17 points back of first-place Florida, who is running away with it, just like Tampa appears to be. Florida's no one's stopping them, it would appear to be. South Carolina had to go on a ridiculous streak to catch up to them, kind of like the Bears going on right now. They got to keep it up as Orlando and Jacksonville are actually right behind them into standing. So it's basically South Carolina and Florida teams that are coming after them. Where does the Florida Everblades play? I think they're in Tallahassee. I think we looked this up before now. I can't remember. Do you remember?
I don't.
Hold on. I'm looking it up real fast. Come on, Wikipedia. They play near Fort Myers in Estero, Florida. I don't know where that is. Moving on.
Astoria?
No, Estero.
Okay.
Estero, Florida. I'm going to tell you real quick. It is somewhere.
Great.
In Florida. You're welcome, everyone. It's on the Gulf Coast side, a little north of Miami, other side of the state. All right. Well, we learned something new. You're welcome, everybody. Just like the Bears, Stingrays are currently playing, they are in Norfolk or Norfolk. And they have three in a row starting on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Newfoundland, Saturday against Jacksonville, and then Sunday against Atlanta. They then have another game next Tuesday against Norfolk. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so keep doing what you're doing. Let's get a playoff spot, Bears. Let's do it. Come on.
Let me check on their game right now. How do I do that? Why is it theahl.com? I think they're that important. One one. End of the first. Wilkes-Barre and Hershey.
All right.
I'll take it. Let's check the stand. Who are they actually chasing right now? Is the better question. They're in fifth, 2 points behind Lehigh Valley, but they've played one less game. 4 points behind Providence, playing one less game, and then let's not worry about the rest. Well, they're not catching Charlotte. Charlotte is okay. Yeah, they're way ahead. Anyways, so yeah, they could definitely make a playoff spot.
All right. Well, do your thing. Do your thing, Bears. Do what you got to do. Go Bears. Go Stingrays.
Do a thing.
Now let's go around the NHL. All right, Coach Dan, what is going on? I know there's something. You got to tell me something is going on. So what is going on around the NHL?
Nothing? Not a thing. No one's even played in the last week.
What?
Yeah, everybody had a bye week. No, let's see. Let's start in Pittsburgh, where the NHL suspended forward Evgeny Malkin for one game for high-sticking Philly forward Michael Roffel. He's an interesting last name. I feel like they're writing his name, his last name on his birth certificate, and they just missed a letter. Like, something just seems wrong. Anyways, high-sticking would be putting it quite nicely. He just straight-up swung a stick at Roffel's head, and he probably should have gotten more games, if you ask me. But this is the first time, miraculously, that Malkin has been suspended in his NHL career.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, and I'm calling. Wait a minute. Hold on. Is that true?
I feel like he's been suspended before.
No, there have been calls for it, but I think he has a certain get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, because he's a Pittsburgh Penguin. I bet you the NHL was like, can we suspend him for like a period?
Yeah, can he play the rest of the game? Come on. I can't find it. I'm not caring anymore. Speaking of Pittsburgh, they send Derek Brassard, Riley Shahan, 2019 second round pick, their 2019 fourth round pick, and Minnesota's 2019 fourth round pick to Florida for forwards Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann. New Jersey sent forward Brian Boyle to Nashville for a 2019 second round pick. Nashville wasn't done there, as they then sent a 2020 seventh round pick to the Rangers for forward Cody McLeod. That always reminds me of that class we took in college where you had to do the Highlander edit. Wasn't there a guy in that called McLeod?
I don't think I had that Highlander class.
You didn't have to do that class?
I don't think so.
Oh my god. I mean it was kind of fun, but holy crap. That was like 40 to 50 hours of editing that Highlander scene.
Were you a film or a video focus?
Video. Were you film?
No, I was video too.
How'd you not take the editing class?
What? I don't remember editing anything for Highlander.
No, yeah, you took a scene from Highlander and you had to edit together.
No, I didn't have to do any of that.
All right, well, that's BS. How come I had to do it? Anyways, going back to hockey and the whole reason everybody's listening, or if they're even still listening, LA sent Nate Thompson and a 2019 fifth-round pick to Montreal for a 2019 fourth-round pick. That was a weird trade. Like, why did the fifth-round pick get thrown in there?
That's weird.
So that, I don't understand. Anyways, the Rangers sent goalie Merrick Mazanik. Mazanik? That's an interesting way to spell your name. They sent him to Vancouver for a 2020 seventh round pick. The Vancouver got blown out when they had their kid goalie come up, decided to go get another goalie. That's seventh round pick. It's not exactly the same much. And finally, there's been some confusion as to whether former Capital Joel Ward is actually retired. Stories were coming out with him saying he is retired, though nothing official has been announced. So I'm doing that I don't know emoji thing right now because no one really knows what's going on with Joel Ward. That's the news for the past few weeks in the NHL.
I read that. I was like, oh, that's sad that he's retired. You know, I like Joel Ward. And then Joel Ward put out a statement, or his people
retired,
supposedly.
Not dead, man.
And he was like, I'm not retired. Who told you I was retired? And then it was like, well, maybe I am. I don't know. So I'm still confused too. I don't know if he's retired or not, but
it sounds like Joel's confused.
Yeah. I like Joel Ward when he was here. I mean, he had some, wasn't he a part of the Knubel goal against Boston?
He scored the Knubel goal.
Okay. So Knubel was blocking, right? And Joel Ward.
Yeah. I think the goal went to Ward. Cause I remember, or was it Knubel's and Ward was involved? Cause I was not a huge fan of Joel Ward that season because he was playing like garbage. So then of course he was the one who scored.
Right.
And I remember I was at my now wife's, her parents' house, because she was living with them, watching the game, and they scored. We jumped up all excited, and then I was like, oh, crap, Ward scored. Now I feel bad.
Hey, how many bad things have I said about Lars Eller, and he's the one that gets the goal that wins the Stanley Cup? I mean,
yeah, right? He may have scored the most important goal in Capitals history.
And I'm like, still not good enough.
Get him out!
I do want to say this real quick. It's not NHL news, but there is a rivalry series that is on the NHL Network this week, and it's the USA versus Canada women's hockey teams.
Oh, they don't like each other very much.
No, they don't. The games are on like the same time as the Caps games, or at least it was on Tuesday. I watched the first game. I recorded it, watched the Caps, then watched the women's hockey game. Hillary Knight got the one goal in that game. It was 1-0. So the U.S. leads the series now 1-0.
Do you, Brandon, real quick, sorry to interrupt. I found this out last night. Do you know she plays for a team in Montreal?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it the
that's got the
WNHL like, or something, or NWHL?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it's called, but she plays for Le Canadien de Montréal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the CWHL, Canadian Women's
CWHL, okay. Yeah, and it's all the stars from, like, the gold medal team, and they have another game coming up on the 14th that's on the NHL Network. I believe that one's at 7 o'clock, and then there's one on Sunday afternoon, I believe, around like 12:30. So you can check that out. I mean, if you just love hockey, this is a great rivalry between those two teams. They do not like each other. There's bad blood there. There was a fight that broke out in the first game. Definitely check it out because we saw a couple of the U.S. women's hockey players in the skills competition this year with the NHL. And I mean, the game is fast. It is absolute great hockey to watch. I mean, I can't put it over enough. So if the Caps games are too late for you and you want to still watch some hockey in the next week, check out this rivalry series. It's only 3 games, so it's a best of 3 between U.S. and Canada. So definitely check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff.
And I still want to get
Haley, who is a local here in the Maryland, D.C. area.
Oh, yeah.
I still want to get her on the show and talk some hockey. I think she'd be really fun to talk to.
I think she would probably know more than we do.
Yes, she would know a lot
more. We don't want you on here anymore. You're making us look bad.
All right. Well, you've said your piece, Haley.
You're done.
Now we're going to go back to talking about our stupid things that we
don't. Stop it. We're going to talk about jerseys now. That's important.
Which I do have my stadium.
No. Don't get. We've been behaving ourselves. Don't start.
Just bringing that up.
Well, you need to not. This would be the last podcast. That's a terrible effing jersey.
Wore it all weekend. I got some compliments on it. Thank you.
That's gross. You need to wash it, dude.
Maybe.
Well, not wash it. You're not really supposed to wash a jersey.
You can't dry clean them. I found that out the hard way.
You said can or cannot?
You cannot dry clean. No.
What happens when you dry clean them?
I don't know, but you're not supposed to do it. I took it to the dry cleaner, and he's like, I don't want this. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
why?
Because he knows that jersey you have right now is terrible.
And what is it? He like took out the tag and everything. He's like,
I need to read this. Can't you read? I'm like, no.
Do not bleach. Do not dry clean. So it is specific. He's like, I can still do it if you want. And I'm like, yeah, dry clean it. Let's see what happens. I didn't notice a difference. It seemed fine to me, but you're not supposed to dry clean.
You're going to go put it on next time, and it's going to like turn into dust like Thanos snapped his fingers and it disappeared.
All right. Well, Coach Dan, is that the show for this week?
Yeah, I got to go make dinner, man.
Yeah, me too. So if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
Don't. I just have to go make dinner. I don't have time to be responding to silly tweets from you and Ryan about your terrible jersey.
It's a good jersey. And we even talk jersey fouls on Twitter with Ryan and our buddy Phil as well.
That's true. Who? Yeah, Phil said he saw someone at the Canucks game with a beagle, but it was an old school.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Whoever did that, poor form. Come on. Better than that. Or apparently not, but I don't know who you are, so whatever. Not my problem. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things when I'm not super freaking busy doing with other crap, which hopefully will calm down after this weekend. Talking about other sports things as well, Arsenal Football Club and what's going on and whether Mesut Ozil is going to still be on the team after the season or not. Certainly seems like it's going to be not. What else? And that's, that's me on Twitter at WTPCoach. I don't know what else I really have to talk about in terms of Twitter. What else do I talk about on Twitter, Brandon? Do I talk about anything else?
On Twitter?
I just respond when you and Ryan goad me into something.
You mostly just talk about sports, really. You don't really...
Yeah. And that when you and Ryan say something, I'm like, all right, that's it. I will not stand for this anymore.
If you want to see Coach Dan and I get into a GIF war, that is where you go.
Those happen from time to time. That is most definitely true. But somehow on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And hey, if you've enjoyed our rambling, why not go ahead and give us a follow on Facebook? Is it follow, a like, whatever the term is? On Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you find out we have new shows that come out as well as all other sorts of fun things and whatever else comes into Brandon's mind related to the Washington Capitals. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, if anyone would like to know where else can they find shows where you're rambling about things, where would they go?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here. We also have The Call, which is a Baltimore Ravens podcast, which Joe Flacco just got traded to Denver. So I assume...
I saw that. I was going to text you, and then I was like, he probably doesn't care.
Well, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, I'm going to miss him, but...
Why? He's going to a good organization.
He is, but I don't want to see him leave. I really like Joe, but... I'm sure a new episode of The Call will be coming out within the next week to talk about that, but we'll see what happens. But
that's going
to
be a long episode.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of delaying it for a couple days because I don't want to edit it. But that's a another story. But so that's if you enjoy Coach Dan and I, make sure you leave us an Apple Podcast review. Let people know. Give us a 5-star review or a 4-star. I don't really care.
Don't tell them to give us a bad review. What are you doing?
I don't know. Like, just
if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, what Coach Dan said.
Give us a 4-star review.
I don't care. Let us know you're out there.
Wait, well, if we get a 4-star review, will it still bump us up in the, like, standings or whatever? I don't know the terminology.
I don't know. The more reviews we get, the more iTunes goes like, oh, hey, yeah, you guys are cool. We'll talk about you. I don't even
know. Yeah, so give us a review. And if you want to give us a night one, great. Night one? A nice one, that would be great. If you want to give us a bad one, you're a jerk.
I don't even know. I haven't used the Apple Podcast app in so long. I wonder. We got 4.5.
We have
16 ratings. That's cool.
Who the hell? When did that happen? Did anyone actually write anything down? If you're going to write something down, say something nice, because apparently Brandon and I are now checking it.
I had to stop checking it, actually.
I don't even know how to find it. How do you find? Oh, there's the ratings.
Yeah. I had to stop checking it because the Call Podcast got a bad review. I got a 1-star review.
Dude, we got a bunch of people wrote. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5. Yeah.
Very cool.
Somebody gave us a 1-star. Screw you, buddy.
That's fine. I don't care. But we got a 1-star review on the Call a couple years ago. And I was like, what is this? What is going on? Why would you do this? And I look at the guy, and it's a different podcaster that covers the Ravens, and he only reviewed 2 shows. He gave my show a 1-star review and his own show a 5-star review. So I was like, all right, well, the guy uses the same username. I'm going to go ask him on Twitter what his problem is. I was preemptively blocked. So, like, I couldn't even be like, hey, man, what's your issue?
That's so cowardly. Somehow I've just taken over Brandon's whole spot. Yeah, go ahead, give us a review on iTunes. That'd be great. Brandon, continue with your spiel.
Okay, where was I? Right.
I have no idea.
Make sure you go follow us on social media. Like Coach Dan said, we are on Facebook at What the Puck Pod. We are also on Twitter at the same name, at What the Puck Pod. So like us, follow us, do all that crazy stuff, and let other people know about us. You know, the Capitals are the Stanley Cup champions. It is February, which means that there's only about a month and a half, maybe 2 months left of hockey to be played until the playoffs. Of course, we want to make the playoffs. Get your friends ready, then tell them if they want to go on a Stanley Cup ride. This is the show to get you ready for it. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. I almost promoted the wrong show. So that's pretty much.
Give the other one a shout out. I don't mind.
That's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again on Valentine's Day, February 14th. The Capitals are in San Jose up against the Sharks. That game you can watch locally here at 10:30, and you can also 10:30 p.m. and watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Sunday the 17th, the Capitals are in Anaheim against the Ducks. That game is at 9 o'clock. You can watch that on ESPN Plus and NBC Sports Washington. Also, it's up against the same time as The Walking Dead. How dare you? And then Monday the 18th, the Capitals are in L.A. up against the Kings. That game is at 10:30 p.m., and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. So I think that's pretty much it for the show, Coach Dan. What do you say?
I say I'm hungry. I want to go make dinner.
Yeah, me too. So we're going to go eat some food, and then I'm going to edit this show and get it all ready and prep for you guys. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.